Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And some of you know I'm working on a new book at the moment. And it's a book that I'm co-writing with one of my mentors, Mavis Karn. And there's a question she asks her clients that is I've used as the first line in our book, and it's the question I'm going to ask you at the beginning of this podcast. When's the last time you felt the way you wish you felt all the time? When's the last time you felt the way you wish you could feel all the time? Now, for you, the answer might be, I'm feeling that way now. It might be earlier today before such and such happened. It might be, yeah, God, I don't know, it feels like forever, but it was probably last week. Now, I also know that for some people, their initial answer is never. But I know that when I take the time to really probe, they can always find a time. Sometimes it was when they were quite young. But we all know that feeling of presence and aliveness and peace and joy and love, where we really are at our absolute best. I used to actually think that I would measure my life by when on my deathbed, had I spent more time in that kind of state of mind or not, and that's how I'd evaluate my life. And then I realized one day that actually, if I happened to be in that kind of state of mind when I died, it wouldn't matter if I'd never been there before, even, because when you are present like that, it doesn't matter what's happened before, and you're really not that worried about what is yet to come. But what I didn't realize is that feeling is what I now would call the real you. And all the other feelings we feel, the kind of fear and anxiety and worry and depression and sadness and anger and frustration, they're all just the result of habits of thought that we've picked up along the way. Now, my journey with this understanding started when I became very conscious of the fact that my answer to when's the last time you felt the way you wish you could feel all the time was always the last time I was teaching a group. Something happened to me from the very first time I got up in front of a group in the 80s where it was like I was a different person. This depressed, shy, introverted kid disappeared, and this loving, present, funny, kind of cool guy showed up. Still a little nerdy and geeky, but overall, kind of cool guy. And I made what I now can look back on and see a kind of an obvious mistake, which is I thought, oh, so the secret to happiness for me is to be a trainer. So I need to teach all the time. And so I set about trying to book more gigs and take on more classes and become a full-time teacher. But the problem was, at some point, I had to go home. And as soon as I walked off stage, sometimes it would linger for a day or two even. But at some point when I left the arena, I'd go back to being depressed and suicidal and unhappy and frustrated and hopeless and discouraged and despairing. In my mind, I'd go back to being me. Well, I realized one day that I could bring what I called trainer mode or teacher mode more into my everyday life. So I created a kind of a practice of I'd remember what it felt like when I was in front of a group. And then I would try and bring that feeling with me into other situations. And that worked up to a point. It was almost like I was trying to create a new habit of putting this fake me, this better me mode on, like a coat, and wearing it more of the time. But the problem was, it only worked when I did it. It only worked when I remembered to do it. So then I started putting so much energy into trying to remember to do it and trying to create the habit of doing it that it didn't really do much for me. Then I got a little closer to the truth and I started noticing, well, what's different between when I'm teaching and the rest of my life? And I realized, well, one thing that was different is when I was in teacher-trainer mode, I wasn't thinking about me. And I realized the second I came off stage, it was all about me again. And I thought, oh, okay, so I just need to never think about myself. But if you want to give that a try, my guess is you will maybe do a little better than me. But you will ultimately find that we're really habituated to thinking about ourselves. The whole world is kind of designed to get us to think about ourselves. And then the thing that became a real game changer became obvious to me. I was exploring the difference between what's normal, in other words, what you're used to, and what's natural, what's innate, what's of our nature. And I realized that a lot of things that I thought of as, it's in my nature to be depressed, it's in my nature to be scared, it's in my nature to feel this way about people, were just an unhealthy normal. They were my habit. They were the result of my habitual thinking. I knew they weren't my nature because I realized that I was born happy as a baby. I didn't need therapy. So it couldn't be my nature that was depressed. It couldn't be my nature that was fearful, even though it was absolutely my norm. And I started to see the difference between what was habitual and what was real. And then I had one of those, I call them HFMOG moments. And if you can't figure out what HFMOG stands for, the H is holy and the MOG is mother of God, and you can fill in the blanks. But I realized the real me was the guy who showed up at trainings. The learned, habitual me was the one who was sort of self-obsessed and had a lot of depressing thinking and a lot of scary thinking and was really shy and introverted. And that changed the game completely. Because when I realized that the times when I felt the way I wish I could feel all the time were me, and the rest of that stuff was just habit, I became much more conscious of the habit. I noticed myself scaring myself. I noticed myself depressing myself. I noticed myself winding myself up. I noticed myself stressing myself out. I noticed myself pressuring myself. And it just stopped looking like a good idea. And because being the way I wish I could be all the time was actually natural, I realized that could happen at any time, anywhere, whether I thought about it or not, whether I remembered it or not. I realized that, oh, that's the real me. I don't have to do anything to be the real me. But sometimes I'm going to get caught up in old habits of thinking, and I won't feel myself. Now, if this isn't obvious to you, think about somebody you really care about. And chances are there are times where you just love them. You're blown away by them. You can't believe human beings like that exist in the world. And there are other times where you don't know what happens. It's like they get taken over or possessed, and they become moody, and they become miserable, and they become just horrible to be around. And at some point, maybe you've started to think, oh, God, you know, I used to think they were great, but now I've met the real them, and the real them is awful. The real us is never awful. The real us is who we are before we were even born. It's the soul. It's the God self. It's our true nature. It's nature. Our learned self is all over the shop. So what if that person that you really care about, when they're in that place in them, that alive, present, loving place, what if that's the real them? And what if the rest is just the noise of an unrecognized habit? Is an innocent misuse of the gift of thought? Now here's what I've found. I found that the more I can see that the real me is perfect. Not perfect like never makes mistakes, but perfect like just beautiful and whole. Like it's really hard not to love a baby unless you got a lot of thinking about babies. Right? They've done all sorts of experiments with baby animals and baby humans, and even the roughest humans soften around that kind of innocence, that purity. Well, when you start to see the real you, you start to see the real them. And when you can see the real them, it's easier to see the real you. Have fun, learn heaps, happy exploring, and I'll talk with you soon.